Let's take our Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 9. If you've been with us on Wednesday, we've been going through the book of Daniel, and in particular, we've been of late in chapter 9. If you know anything about chapter 9, we find Daniel's prayer of confession, which lends itself to some marvelous instruction, preaching. And then we have at the end of the chapter, really beginning, I guess you could say, with verse 23, verse 24, we have what we could consider called Daniel's 70 weeks. And this is probably, if you could kind of weigh the prophecies of the scripture, really important, lesser important, and of course all scripture is profitable. This portion, this prophecy would be at the top. If you can understand Daniel's 70 weeks, it'll take you a long ways down the road of understanding the aspect in theology called eschatology, a study of last things. Let me begin reading in verse 23 of Daniel chapter 9. At the beginning of the supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured up upon the desolate. Our focus, as I said this evening, is going to be on verse 27. Now, there are a number of non-futuristic views, or we could say interpretations, for Daniel's 70th week. Keep in mind there are 70 weeks in Daniel's prophecy. Focusing on the 70th week, we have these views. Again, non-futuristic. In other words, these views basically say that Daniel's 70th week has already taken place. Number one, the view that the 70th seven is fulfilled in the events following the Maccabean persecution. Number two, the view that the 70th week is fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Number three, that the 70th week of Daniel is an indefinite period of time beginning with Christ, but extending to the end. And number four, that the 70th seven is 7 literal years beginning with the public ministry of Christ, but then ending about 3.5 years after his death. But honestly, none of these positions provide for us a literal fulfillment of this prophecy. Such can only be satisfied through a futuristic interpretation with a gap between the 69th and 70th week. Again, verse 27 unveils what will occur in the 70th 7 years. The 7-year period will start after the rapture of the church, which means, and when we consider the rapture of the church, that is an imminent occurrence or a happening which means it could happen when? At any time. And so this 70th week of Daniel could begin tonight if the rapture of the church takes place. But it will continue till the return of Christ to this earth. Remember, the second coming of Christ has two aspects. It has Christ coming for the church, and he comes in the air to rapture the church, his bride, back to heaven. Then 7 years later, Christ will come literally to this earth, and after which he will set up his millennial reign. But the 70th 7 years will conclude with Christ's coming to this earth. Now, as you know, this period is often called the tribulation because it will be a time of great distress. And Matthew 24 speaks or describes it that way, verse 21. Now, verse 27 begins with the words, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." The "he" here refers to the little horn of Daniel 7, verse 8. And this is the final head. This little horn is the final head of the fourth world empire known as the Roman Empire. You had the first worldwide empire would be the Babylonian Empire. And then you had the Medo-Persian Empire. Then you had the Greek Empire. And then you had the Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire basically has two aspects or two times it has and it will be in operation. Of course, the time during Christ, we have the rule of the Romans. But then at the end time, we'll have the Roman Empire, the revived, theologians usually refer to it, Roman Empire. And so this will be, this little horn will be the leader of this final revived Roman Empire, whom we know as the Antichrist. This little horn, this leader, is the Antichrist, or will be. I believe he's alive right now. I really do. And this world ruler, this prince that shall come, which we see in verse 26, will make a covenant with many. Notice, "and he shall confirm the covenant with many." Now, who are the many there? Well, they are Daniel's people. And who are Daniel's people? The Jews, the nation of Israel. And he will make a covenant with them for how long? What does it say? 1 week. And what is that 1 week referred to? How long is 1 week? 7 years. So he will make a covenant with the nation of Israel for 7 years. And this treaty he will make will guarantee Israel's safety in their land. Now, one author writes, "This suggests that Israel will be unable to defend herself, for she will have lost any support she may have had previously." And I got to thinking about that. Perhaps this lack of support includes the United States. And why do I say the United States? Because with all the Christians raptured, and there are a lot of Christians in the United States, but with all the Christians who have been raptured, the support for Israel will basically go to nil in this country. How many of you would agree? And you think about all the people, all the Christians who will be raptured, the effect that that will have on this nation, I believe it will become just a shell of what it has been. I mean, where do you find anti-Semitism? You find it in the unbeliever, right? You find it in people who hate Christ, and consequently they hate Israel. So Israel will need and will welcome this peacemaking effort. This Antichrist, who is ahead of the Confederation of the 10 Roman nations, will work and bring to pass a peace treaty with Israel. But But then verse 27 continues, in the midst of the week, and what would be the midst of the week? How much time are we talking there? Midst of the week, 3.5 years. This false prince of peace, think about the difference between the true prince of peace and the false prince of peace. We talked about Jesus, the prince of peace. We'll look at the contrast here. This false prince of peace shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That is, all the bloody and non-bloody sacrifices occurring at Israel's or in Israel's new temple will be outlawed, which all means that the Antichrist will break his covenant with Israel, and he will move, think about this, he will move from Europe to the land of Israel. Look at Daniel chapter 11, verse 45, so you don't think I pulled that one out of a hat. Verse 45, and he, and that refers to the Antichrist, shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to an end and none shall help him. Where is the holy mountain? Jerusalem. What is it called? Mount Zion. And of course, there he will, in Israel and Jerusalem, he will assume his worldwide powers, both in the political and religious realms. And it will cause the world to do what? To worship him. Let's turn to a couple of passages of Scripture that describe what will happen. Look at, first of all, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's begin reading at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. It doesn't get clearer than that of what his intentions will be. He will sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem and declare, I am God, and demand that the world do what? Worship him. I mean, this man means business. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this sounds a lot like the president of China. He is, in essence, demanding the worship of himself. And then if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 13, and let me read just because of time. I'll begin reading in verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. This is describing the Antichrist now. And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. Who is the dragon? Satan. Gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. In other words, the beast somehow gets wounded, maybe even to the point of almost dying, maybe even death. I'm not sure. I think there's a variance of opinion on that. But anyway, this wound is healed. You know, Satan has power. And somehow Satan brings healing. You know, these people that claim that they can heal, Satan has power to work through them. And so, you know, we see that this wound is healed and the world wondered, or they, because of this healing, they follow after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. In other words, they literally worshiped Satan, which gave power unto the beast, unto the Antichrist. And they worshiped as well the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? Because there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwelt in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Which is all saying, posing as the world's rightful king and God and as Israel's prince of peace, the Antichrist, after 3.5 years will then turn against Israel and become her destroyer. He will cause Israel to have to flee and to hide under God's protection for a time, times, and a half a time. And you can find that in Revelation chapter 12. Okay, what's the time? That's how long? A year. Times would be 2 years, and a half a time would be, what does that equal? 3.5 years, 42 months, a time and times and a half a time. Then verse 27 of Daniel 9 continues, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now our Lord referred to this event in Matthew 24:15 when he said, you will see standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation. And John wrote that the false prophet will set up an image to this ruler, which the world then will be compelled to worship. Now, the phrase overspreading of the abominations means upon the wing of abominations, which refers most likely to the pinnacle of the temple, the summit of the temple. Remember, Satan told Christ to do what? Cast himself down from the temple. This is the seat of the Antichrist, the highest of the points of the temple, so to speak, which has become so desecrated that it can no longer be regarded as the temple of the Lord, but rather as an idol temple, a temple where the Antichrist demands that the world worship him. And so what Antiochus Epiphanes began in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31, the Antichrist will continue until God's wrath is poured upon the desolate, until the end is decreed and is poured out on him, on the Antichrist, which will take place when Christ returns to this earth, and the false prophet and the Antichrist, known as the beast, will be cast into the lake of fire. And you can find that in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. And so in summary, and I borrow here the brains of John Walvoord, who has written probably one of the most, really the classic book, I would say, on the book of Daniel, Daniel's Great Prophecy of the 77s, which covers Israel's history from the time of Nehemiah, 445 or 444 BC, until Christ's second coming. Again, in the first period of the 77s, the 49 years, remember, the 69 years are divided into 49, 7 sevens, and then 42 sevens. The first 49 years, the city and the streets of Jerusalem are rebuilt. Remember, they were rebuilt under Nehemiah. And then in the second period of 62 sevens, 434 years, which follow, Christ appears and is living at the conclusion of this period. Then in the parentheses between the 69th and 7 and the 70th 7, there are at least three major events which take place. We have the cutting off of the Messiah, which refers to what event? Christ's crucifixion. Number two, we have the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. And who led the forces, the Roman forces, to destroy Jerusalem? Titus. And then we have, number three, this event between the 69th 7 and the 70th 7, the church age in which we are presently living. So in the realm of history, we're living between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Then the final period of the 7 years begins with the commencement of the covenant relationship between the prince that shall come and the many, the people of Israel. And this peace treaty will be observed for the first half of the future 7-year period, after which the special liberties and protections granted Israel will be taken away, and Israel will become a persecuted people during the last half of the tribulation called the Great Tribulation. The temple in Jerusalem will be desecrated with the desolation of the Jewish religion. And then the entire prophecy of the 70 weeks will be culminated with Christ's second advent. Also, Daniel's prophecy of the 4 great world empires will come to a conclusion. And so the 2 great lines of prophecy relating to the Gentiles and to Israel, which have been running concurrently, will both end at Christ's second coming, when Israel, the oppressed, will be delivered, and the Gentiles, the oppressors, will be judged. And with Israel back in their land, presently back in their land, the fulfillment of these prophecies, I believe, are near at hand. Honestly, the 70th seven could begin tonight. Be ready. Christ is coming, and it could be tonight.